podcast, Vote for the Other Guy podcast, with our host, Gwen Samuel. Gwen, how are you? And, you know, when I talked to you about doing another show and creating another show for you or producing it, I thought this is perfect for my audience as well, because my roots is in education and kids first. And it's fantastic what you've come up with.
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me. And the world needs to know that I knew you from 2012 when I was introduced to you by a gentleman named Hamlet Garcia. And now we are here full circle 12 years later.
Yeah, what go figure. Go figure how that happens. You know, that's why relationships are so important. And you never know when the opportunity, right time, right place comes. But all right.
Absolutely.
And guest, I think that for people to understand, when you bring up vote, explain to people, you don't mean we're going to pick a politician. We're looking at we're looking at what's best for kids, right?
Yeah, so let's just be clear. Vote for the Other Guy. It's not about your political affiliation. It's not about political rhetoric. All I know is that I'm seeing too many people that are elected, that parents are putting into office, voting against the interests of America's children. And our children are hurting right now. And this is a critical election year. So it is time. We done marched. We done sang Kumbaya. We done ate pizza parties. We done went to the DJs. We done did everything to expand educational opportunities in America. But look at the very people who are voting against children, because we want to believe, we're so hopeful as America that we want to say the guys that are gals that we are voting into office are going to do right by us. But clearly their voting records are not. So this is not about your party. This is about your morals, your principles, your values, and about vote kids all day, every day.
Awesome. We have a great guest, right?
Oh, my goodness. This is my sister from another mother. I met her through many allies in education reform, Miss Christine Laster, but I'm going to let her introduce herself. She's from the West Coast. So the East Coast is meeting the West Coast, and it's about to go down for children.
Hi, everybody. I am Christina Laster, and I'm just glad to be here to have this discussion. Nice to just have a straight up talk about what's happening. I'll be first to tell you all, I am a mom of four and a grandmother of four and one on the way, and I don't trust my kids to anybody. I homeschool my children because of that. But I've been working in education since I graduated from high school. That's how committed I am to this fight. When I graduated from high school, I started working for public education, and I have not stopped since.
Well, thank you so much. So let me tell you briefly what the elevator pitch of Vote for the Other Guy is. The Vote for the Other Guy, this is just a podcast with Mama Bear. Many people know me as Real Talk and social media, but because I am hardline for children, many call me Mama Bear. I was actually considering a run for office in 2021. As Mama Bear Gwen Samuel, but then I lost a child to the fatal. I lost a second child to a fatal car accident in 2021, and it was my second child. So now I'm trying to figure out, without going inward like I was for the last 2 years, I'm trying to use my grief for good. So I'm trying to take this platform to say that the Vote for the Other Guy podcast is a unifying effort by diverse parents, students, and community leaders, advocating for a transformative shift in public education, period. It is simple for me. If you don't vote for children on the front end, when you get the opportunity to do right for them, then we will be voting for the other guy or the other gal on the back end. I don't want to hear about your political parties or your egos or the ideology. I want to hear about individuals' morals and principles and values. You know, why are they running? And most importantly, Christina, that's why you and I want to talk about what was it like when we were growing up? Because voting was a part of your food, like a part of your oxygen. You didn't even think not to vote. It was just a matter of when it was time to vote. The faith communities were a part of it. You got to go there for information. You know, candidates used to drop off information. Now it's a whole thing. Now we got faith leaders pandering. Now we got faith leaders only bringing certain political, you know what I mean? So we have moved away from the spirit of the power of what voting can do in certain populations, very specifically Black, Brown, rural America, poor America. We are facing some very different times. And so now we've done everything else. Now it's time to hold these elected officials accountable. No more blindly voting row A or row B, hope, cross your fingers, hoping for the best. None of that. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit about you as it relates to civic education, like what moves you? What did your family do? What was it like? And maybe offer some solutions. This is a 30-minute show and we'll be, and Neil will help me be a time check. Thank you.
Definitely, I would love to. And excuse my lighting. It's that time in California where the lighting comes in one way and goes out the other. So it's kind of making it look weird, but we'll just keep going. So, you know, I grew up in an era that was directly under two different movements because I was born and raised in San Diego, California. And we had two separate movements that were not excluded from each other, but united to work together to stand and form a strong front with regards to their demands. And so those two movements were the farmers with Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez. And then there was the Black Panther Party, right? And so as I was growing up under that type of leadership in that type of environment, we didn't ask questions. We learned that we're going to write our own policy and legislation demands and, you know, basically have the people that were directly representative of the needs of various communities in office. And either they could take it or leave it, right? It wasn't any questions about, you know, them coming to us with political soundbite and what they wanted us to do. I noted all of the people in my family, my grandparents, and then my neighbors, my friends, all had that same mentality, and we were united around that, right? And if you think about what came out of that era, like the Bills of Rights and quality care in hospitals and all of those things that came out, and I knew if something happened at the local school, even the local daycare, people were going to be lined up at the house of that person to figure out what went down and why, right? And then it was also close-knit to where, you know, even if you went to a preschool or a elementary school, those teachers also lived in the community or went to the local church, or you saw them at the laundromat or the grocery store. And so there was never a time where anyone could, you know, get away from another person that was a part of the community to not be accountable. And for the most part, we were bringing forward our demands. And that's what I saw growing
up. So, and that's interesting that you're saying, so there was this unity, there was this village, and we're not ancient. I mean, we're not spring chickens, right? And I'm older than you, right? But something has shifted. Yes, we can blame government. Yes, we can blame evolution. We can blame a lot of things. We can blame racism. We can blame classism. We can blame sexism. But blame where we are right now, we don't even have room for the blame game. The question is, what are the solutions, right? And so how do we bring back the family unit in a time where children are saying their parents are not listening right now, right? In a time where parents are dealing with, you know, so much where the father back in the day, you know, the father was encouraged, marriage was encouraged, right? So those things are the things that made you a unit. Those family foundations are no longer being encouraged. So right. Like what, if you had to give some solution, I'm talking right time, real time, looking at the climate and looking how children feel about adults right now. What was a solution or two that you did in your younger days that maybe we can bring back in 2024.
I say bring back outside time. Shut down all of the you know, communications. Don't shut this show off though, right? But anyway, we got to be careful when we ask for that, right? But really, I mean, our households are inundated with messaging all the time. And that's one thing that I remembered, like we had designated opportunities to watch cartoons or TV, and those were typically Saturdays, right? And so outside of that time, we had books, we had our imagination, We had our dialogue with our parents. We inquired about what was going on around us. We had direct communication with not only our households, but then other people. And I think that that is definitely something we need to reevaluate and reassess in our homes. How much time do our children and even us need to be consuming all of this technology, right? There has to be healthy limits set because of the messaging that is going out. And then trying to decide, you know, who's telling the truth and whatnot. And then the other thing that I, you know, really heavily encourage is understanding the governance structure. It doesn't matter where you go in this world, if there is a governance structure in place, whether that be a constitution and house and a Senate, whatever, you know, we have three branches of government here, or whether that just be one particular type of, you know, like a monarchy or something, you're going to have to understand who is ruling over you and what is the expectation for your responsibility, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
Whether you like it or not, right? I can walk out and talk about, you know, this constitution. Well, guess what? That's above my pay grade. But what I can do is understand that governance structure and what is that ruling document? What does that supreme law of the land mean, right? And then teach that to my children so they understand what the expectation is when they walk out of the door. Right. And so that is very important. Understanding governance structures, whether you like them or not, and what is required of you as a citizen or a member being ruled under that structure. I think that's how we start that type of conversation. And it's also how we continue to teach generations about where they're at, being aware. What are the rules? What is your responsibility? And so that's exactly what civic engagement is, because then after you understand all that, you can then go and engage with that governance structure and in a meaningful way, in an informed and meaningful way.
Very good. And we have 100. So for those listening in social media land, you are with Mama Bear Gwen Samuel on Vote for the Other Guy or Gal, right? So whatever it is, we know that a lot of things up there on the Hill and in your neighborhood, whether it's local, state, or federal, needs to change. Because you cannot tell me we have over 50 million children, if I'm correct, we have 49 million children in between K-12 in America's school. And we really think that only one school governing structure is going to educate all those diverse, including special needs. We got children homeless. We actually have children in juvenile detention centers that schools do not want back. And the majority of states in America have the federal government. Our constitution doesn't cover education, but our state constitutions do. At least I don't know about all states, but I know in Connecticut, Article 8 is ours. So we have 194 days. And so what Vote for the Other Guy is going to do, just taking what you said, of creating outside time, is we want to incentivize voting, right? So incentivize it to get us back in the habit. So we want to do something like if you share your dinner time photos with us, right? If you show that your children are together, send it in, you'll be entered into a raffle, right? Something that brings back family. Because what you are saying is the village and the family, right? Because if what we don't know in the house, the village made sure we knew. I may not understand governance, but the pastor does, right? That Mama Wilson does, that, you know what I mean? That lived through her lifetime of seeing the civil rights movement, the Willie Lynch moments, right? And they're now alive to tell us what they, you know what I mean? To share with us. So I think that's a great idea, bringing it outside time. And that requires self-discipline. So we all need to look at ourselves and say, are we even disciplined enough ourselves? Many of us say, oh, I got to get up to vote. Like it's a chore or a task. And it is. But then leaving people to their own demise is not an option. Because some of these people have been in office too long. And then even if they're great, they're not sharing their tools. They're not teaching the next generation of leaders. They're not paying it forward. But I don't expect them to. I expect us to pay it forward. So I'm going to read a quote and then we're going to go back into a discussion. So this is by Franklin D. Roosevelt. And he says, Nobody will ever deprive the American people of the right to vote except the American people themselves. And the only way they could do this is by not voting. Right? So I feel, so I grew up, my father, I'm an Edie. So my maiden name is Edie. We came from South Carolina. My grandfather, as of 1975, who lived on a plantation, all of my aunts and uncles were born in a shack on Cowhead Road in South Carolina. Let's just put that in context. Anything named Cowhead Road lets you know we were in the South, okay? And so, but he was a Republican. My family's up north were Democrats. And so when we choose what we're going to align ourselves with, my grandfather aligned in what he thought he needed for that era. He was in the Willie Lynch moment, post-slavery, families were slaves, and he still was a Republican. That's how you know this is not about party. It's about looking at individuals and their principles, their values, what they stood for. So what I learned from my father was, my grandfather got up early, they had to hit the fields, do the cotton, do the tobacco, right? So he liked the point of view of the conservatives, right? But then when he got up north, it looked different for me. So I never understood Democrat versus Republican. I was just taught that Black folk were Democrats. And I just became a Democrat. But I've been them all, Democrat, Republican, and now I am unaffiliated because I am unhappy. And when I go to choose, I'll choose what I want to choose behind the polls. But now we've made it a crime to choose the party you want to be with. And people have resorted to physically, verbally, mentally, and emotionally attacking you, putting the fear of God in you for exercising your right to choose the best candidate to represent your interests. So I say that to say, vote for the other guy is, look, if you keep focusing on these parties, y'all, we are in trouble. These parties, they want you to focus on who they are versus, no, they want you to vote on who they identify as versus who they are as an individual. What are their morals? Do they even have children? Do they value family? Do they believe in equality? Do they believe in all lives matter? Right? And all those things, and we're not asking these questions. Can they count? They lose so much money and misappropriate so much money. I'm wondering.
Yeah, but when do they ever look at education or parents when they make decisions on voting, on policies? Not just education, because that's one thing everyone thinks that Gwen's just talking education. We're talking anything for children. That's child welfare.
That's right.
It's all these different things.
That's right.
How many children are homeless? How many children are not just homeless, but starving in this country? And we're not addressing these things with our politicians. We're looking at bigger things that are going to benefit adults versus children. Christina?
I do. And I also think that part of the disenfranchisement is based on the what I call military grade propaganda coming out of these parties, right? Where you can obviously tell that they do not appreciate a fully informed constituent.
That's right.
Right. And so when we're talking about how people become disenfranchised and stay disenfranchised, there's some type of illusion that has to go along with that. And the only way to combat that is by being fully informed, by going back to being fully informed, to understand the person, who they are, what is their proven record of efficacy, how are they able to make the claims that they're making, prove it, right? I am in a state that, can depend on 55 blue electoral college votes, right? However, I'm a no political party voter. That feels like foreign to a lot of people who are choosing a particular party. But I always tell people the reason that I am a no political party voter is because I want to see people's track record. I want to know that the claims that they're making, they can, you know, make manifest, right? I don't want them just telling me anything. And I want to be able to take time and understand them. And one of the things that I noticed right away, if someone's not present or able to communicate with their constituents, that's probably not the person that I'm going to want to pick. Right? Because I want to be able to communicate about what's happening and find out what their priorities and agenda are. How are they prioritizing education? How are they prioritizing children? Right? Children don't have a vote. So, you know, we become their voices. And so I think that those are some things that we do need to consider. And an 11th grade or 10th grade semester of civic education is not going to bring you to that point. Of being able to understand a governance structure and being fully informed and, you know, having that whole value set that we do need to go back to.
And that's important. I'm glad that you were saying this, because if you think about education, what we need. So you're right, Neil. Education is the whole. So I develop a curriculum. The whole child matters, and where they live does too. Because when you think about education, it's not just traditional schools. Some do well in magnets. Some do well in charters. Some need a scholarship so that they can participate in maybe sports and other things, but homeschool, to your point, right? What about the trades? We took out the trades, the basic foundational tools of how to balance a budget, how to cook to live, right? You know, how the healthy lifestyle, healthy living, all of that has been removed. And so what does that do for the very vulnerable community? So you're right. Children don't vote. I had two cases this legislative session where we had two charter schools. One charter school needs $1 million. They have over 50% of children not in school dropping out. That's a public safety crisis. That is not, even if you didn't care about education, you can look at that as public safety, because if you don't know where those kids are, then that means kids, that anybody, that's a group of folk that ain't got nothing to do, bad things happen. But we won't fund the school, but we're funding everything else. Another school, overcrowded, racial tensions busting at the scene, needs $4 million. But my state lost $300 million in wasteful spending. You don't get to waste money, lose money, and then say you can't invest in children. And so that's why we need to look to your point. That's why we need to know how they're voting. What are their track records on issues? And if you don't care, and I feel like this is my opinion. If you treat your wife bad and your kids bad, then I don't think you're going to do right by me.
Exactly. So
I ain't judging you. I'm just saying, find something else to do, please. By all means, find something else to do.
Or if you're unable to communicate with me as your constituent, if you're unable to meet with me, if I'm never getting a response from you, right? And so I tell parents and families all the time, I'm a school board member in the state of California. And even though I'm not talking in this capacity right now, I chose to do that because I didn't see parent parity on school boards. People said they were parents and cared about parents and families in the community, but who was really speaking towards the needs and the resources being allocated to make that a reality, right? Like, we have to prioritize children in this education system and
that's
not adults.
It. Yes.
Right. And period. So in order to do that, I'm speaking as a mom with a school-age child every time I step foot on that board and in that meeting, recognizing other parents are going to understand exactly where I'm coming from when I'm asking certain questions, looking for certain data, saying, no, that funds need to be allocated here and not there, right? And so, you know, we should consider that, right? All the way down to city councils, whatever it is in those decision-making roles and that capacity, we have to look at how is it directly responding to the needs in that community and how are people able to engage, right? Civility means it works both ways, right? How are people to engage? And that will start by us being informed. The real question is, why would you want to be under a regime or a governance structure where they don't want you to be fully informed, where they don't want
And that's what, yeah.
right? That's a that's a threat, right? Why wouldn't they want you to know? Okay, so those are things that we can just be considering as solutions. Again, I'm gonna repeat that, like outside time. Let's get the kids outside, right? Get that, you know, physical activity and pull them away from all these electronic and TVs and gaming and stuff. Let's have those discussions. Let's go back to, you know, let's look at a book, you know, do some research, things like that. Understanding who the local leaders are, those that are also running, who, what is their proven track record, and then making sure we stay up to date on what is happening and communication with them, constant communication. And then also considering, like me, I'm school board member and a mom. Let's go, right? And so I think some solutions that anybody anywhere can
totally. Right. It's such great information. It's so important to talk about these things. We have to break these things down, and that's what, Gwen, you're going to have and their guests and different things. Christina, is there a place people can find information on you and stuff? Is there a place for you to go? Or is there anything where they can see your whole movement as well, what you're trying to do?
So if you look me up, Christina Laster, on Google, you'll find a whole lot. And then there should be a link to my LinkedIn or my Instagram or my Facebook page. And people can connect directly with me there. And that's pretty much it. If they reach out to Gwen, they can definitely, you know, find my information from her or you, Neil, and that's fine with me.
Excellent. All right. And for you, Gwen, best place people can connect with you, or where can they go?
Yes, so y'all can find me on social media, Facebook, Real Talk Gwen Samuel, and Gwen Samuel. I am on Twitter, Real Talk Gwen Samuel, and Vote for the Other Guy podcast. And I'm also on Instagram and TikTok, but they want to ban it, so let them go ahead. I'm going to practice getting off.
See, it's not going to happen for a long time, so don't worry.
Okay, I'm on TikTok, but I don't know if I use it for this, but I'm going to work it out. And we're going to get this podcast going, and we are going to make change in November 5th, 2024.
And put it on your calendar, 6:30 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday night. We'll go live with Gwen Samuel. Vote for the Other Guy. But it makes sure everyone shares all this different stuff and feedback about how we can vote for the Other Guy. Appreciate it, guys.